Where to Ski. I'm your host, John Morgan. Today we're in Taos. Grab your skis. Let's go skiing in New Mexico. My guest today grew up in France, traveled the world skiing, and now lives, works, teaches, and skis in Taos every day. Alain Veth grew up skiing, first as a racer, hitting the World Junior Championships, the Europa Cup, and the World Cup, winning the National Championship of Spain, along with national titles in France before turning pro. He became a fully certified ski instructor and ski coach, first in France and later in the U.S. He and his wife own and run one of the country's best ski shops, the Ski Mastery. Alain's knowledge and passion for the sport of skiing is very evident in our discussion today, and it's contagious. Taos Ski Valley attracts skiers from everywhere to its terrain, its powder, its unique vibe, and it's just plain fun. Privately owned, it's kept its unique identity, has expanded services, and I believe it's the most environmentally committed ski area in the world, is the first ski resort to become fully certified B Corp, has a 2030 net zero carbon commitment, and they run electric cats and snowmobiles. It's about a 30-minute drive from the really cool town of Taos, New Mexico. Taos Ski Valley is an intimate area with about 1,300 acres, putting it on the small side, but it's got 3,200 feet of vertical. It's the highest mountain in New Mexico, and half the runs are ranked intermediate and below, and half the runs are really fun and challenging. So let's find out more from Alain. Alain, thank you for joining us today. I'm excited to talk about Taos. After you arrive in Taos, it looks small. You get to the mountain, and front and center is Owl's Run, with moguls the size of small cars. And you can't see most of Taos from the base. Most of the gems of this beautiful mountain are hidden. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about what to expect when you get to Taos.
Well, I think you're going to be very surprised onto what Taos has to offer, because it's a very narrow valley. It's at the end of a cul-de-sac. The mountains are sharp all the way around. I don't want to say it's like Chamonix, because Chamonix is Chamonix, and you know, you've got, you know, the Mont Blanc up above, but you've got, you know, in Taos right there, you've got Willow Peak, which is the highest peak in New Mexico, and which is at the end of the valley of Taos Ski Valley. And so, you know, it's kind of impressive, you know, when you come to Taos and you arrive in that sinuous road up to the ski valley, the ski area, all you see is like, you know, kind of black, double black. So it's right off the bat, it kind of takes you by surprise a little bit, because the terrain right away is very present in this ski area when you come to Taos.
It is. And you don't see a lot of the mountain when you're there. What you see is that one run. And that's why they have the sign at the bottom. And I'll include the sign when I post the podcast. It's pretty funny. I was laughing. First time I saw it.
Yeah, no, for sure. And, you know, so you've got the front side, you've got the back side in Taos, and you only see like a 1/30th of the ski area, you know, when you look at that Owl's Run, which is, you know, the famous Owl's Run. And actually I did quite well, you know, in some of the local races, you know, in the past. And so when you take Chair One, in the old days, I believe it was a Poma, you know, in the early stage, like in 1958, early 1960s. And so imagine with, you know, 210, 205 wooden ski with bare, how is it called, the bare claws or the bare paws, you know, for the binding, that you, if you were to fall and you're a beginner, you had to ski Owl's Run. So, you know, people was really tenacious and very brave to be able to take that Poma to the top of Owl's Run to be able to access the good bike behind. But, you know, nowadays you've got a speed quad, you know, getting you to the top of Chair One. You can take a gentle trail, which leads you to Chair Number Two, which leads you to the top of the mountain. And then from here, you've got two options. You can keep on skiing the front side, or you can go to the back side where you've got chair 7, 7, 8, chair 4, and chair 12, which actually goes to the very top of the mountain, which is called Kachina Peak, at 12, 8 something.
Is that the new chair?
We have many new chairs, but chair 12 has been new, I don't know, for the last, what, 4 or 5 years.
Oh, and, so that's not the one I was thinking.
Yeah, okay. Ernie Blake had a vision to eventually put a chair in 1973. He put like a marker at the bottom of the, you know, at the bottom of a Kachina Peak. And, you know, with a new ownership, Louis Bacon, we were able to, you know, find that marker and from that marker, you know, be able to start that chair going up Kachina.
So for experts, top end skiers, where's the best place to take to start doing laps? And what's the best way to ski that mountain?
Everywhere. I mean, everywhere. It's, I mean, for experts, I mean, I like to consider myself as an expert. Yeah. I've been skiing Taos for the last 38 years. And I pretty much ski everywhere. And I jump a lot of the rocks than what Taos has to offer. I mean, to me, when I was younger, if I was to reflect when I came to Taos, you know, like, you know, 38 years ago, one of the places that was really, you know, vibrant to me was chair number two. And you needed to do a small little hike to get you to the ridge. And when you're on the ridge, you either go to the West Basin or you go to the High Line. And from that, the West Basin, it's basically a black, double black. It's not too short, not too long either. And you can do lap on that chair too, like no others. So you'll start from Oster, ended up all the way to, I think you can all the way to Tiber Trees, and you've got black, double black after double black, and you've got about 10 or 12. And so if you had, you're a local, you work in a restaurant, you're a ski bum, and you've got a 2 hour break, you're going to just hop on chair two and you're going to start to do lap on that chair two. And I mean, it's an event, you know, for aggressive skiers, for good skiers, or maybe not so good skiers, if you like steep and you like to be challenged. That was, I remember those days so vividly. Then I could lap chair two like no others and have a great workout and get in trouble many times on that chair, which really, really tickled me, to be honest with you. It was a treat, you know, to be able to know that. You know, I've been visiting so many, I've been traveling the world through my racing careers, literally in so many different continents. And Taos to me as everything that I want, then, you know, to be happy, to be able to ski and evolve and express myself the way I wish.
Yeah. And Kachina Bowl is pretty nice up above that too, where there's some really incredible terrain up there.
Yeah. You know, then that's, you know, for a quick lap, you know, chair two is awesome. And then if you want to research for maybe like a bin path, the terrain, then is maybe a little less frequented because the hike is a little further. Maybe, you know, a 10-minute hike, you can go to the High Line. And the High Line was, you know, you've got, you know, Juarez and you know, Donkey Serenade and Juarez and Nino Ciros and, you know, $2 and you go all the way to Trescal. And so that also, it's facing north. You've got, it's a little bit more wild in a sense that you've got trees, but you can create what you want out of it. You know, it's not just a run, a designated run. It's, you've got so many trees, then you can really create what you want. And that will be, you know, that will be the two ridges, you know. And then in the old days, when the chair was not there, you keep on going on that ridge and you go all the way to the peak. And of the peak, of course, you've got, that's even a bigger terrain. And you've got about 1,500 vertical feet from the top of the peak to the base of the peak, which is the top of chair four. And at that point, you can create anything you want also. That was the old days. And now for the last, what, 5 years, you know, I'm sure I'm wrong on my date, maybe it could be 6 or 7, but, you know, I would say the last 5 or 6 years, now you've got that lift, that get you to the top of Kachina. And it's amazing what that mountain, basically Kachina with that new lift, is basically a whole ski area on its own, because it's black, double black, and it's a wonderful cirque, so to speak. And you go from cabin chute to K1, K2, K3, K4, K5. Then you've got Main Street, and then you've got Hunziker Bowl. You've got dog leg, you've got the paws, you've got the tail. You've got an amazing amount of terrain with some cliff jumping, if you wish. That's big open space. They do a lot of the comp, the extreme comp, on this mountain, on that section of the mountain, and it offers a great terrain for those 1,500 vocal feet.
That's big. That's
yeah.
That's a long run too. That's a long run.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there any off-piste skiing in Taos?
Well, I want to say yes, but the ski, I mean, it's not like Telluride or Crested Butte or even, you know, in the old, you know, up to last year, Steamboat, where, you know, you've got a gate and then it's out of bounds. So to speak, we don't have that. But you've got locals, and there's a website, there's an ex-ski patrol that used to be a ski patrol in Taos. I forget the name of his website, and I apologize for that, but he monitored the snowpack, and you've got great terrain out, behind Kachina. You've got a terrain called, you've got Willow Peak. It's a whole cirque, a peak with no name, and also you've got Lake Fork. And, it's even bigger than Kachina, and it's not monitored. You have to ski by pair. And you're going to ski up to the top of Lake Fork. And the top of Lake Fork is like about 48 degrees. And it's a beautiful, beautiful. And that's the wilderness. It's like not a national forest.
That's pretty spectacular. We have a lot of listeners that like to try and do backcountry. And we always tell them they should take a guide or an instructor, somebody that really knows the area, if they try and do that.
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, you got to have people that know how to be able to, you know, avoid avalanches. And it helps, even if you're just skiing on the mountain, it helps to have someone show you around the first day or so.
No, for sure. I mean, I've got a great clientele, and I've got some people, all they want to do is terrain. And also with a snowpack, you know, from one year to another is not a given, then everything's going to be open and running from one year to another, because of the snowpack and because of the tightness of some of the run that we have. We have to have a good coverage. Sometimes if you just drop into the Cuervo or Salzau, you can be cliffed out. You know, you enter what you think is a chute, and you're going to be cliffed out. And you definitely need to know where you're going, because Taos has that type of terrain. So you need to take the mountain with respect, and the mountain is always going to win. So you really have to have a lot of respect for it. A good amount of knowledge, talk to the locals, talk to the pros, to be able to show you the way, if you are like a first time skier in Taos.
What about intermediate and beginner skiers? There's quite a bit of terrain for them too.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Taos, you know, I like to think Taos has everything, can offer everything from any ski level of skiers. I mean, we have great, I mean, early season, we've got great amount of snowmaking, you know, blue, green runs and blue runs. It's all man-made snow. And then, of course, through the winter, with the snowpack and snow accumulation, it's being groomed. And basically, we don't have really firm snow in Taos. It's nice. It's compact. It's a solid man-made snow base. But we really, really have, you know, it's not there. It's not going to be, you know, Keystone, you know, when you've got miles of green terrains, miles of blue terrain. But, you know, our beginners, they better learn how to make the first step quick to be able to enjoy the mountain. You know, we do have the terrain to be able to make a good progression for novice and intermediate skiers. And the better they are, the more the mountain has to offer.
It can really dump there. Actually, this week you've gotten what, about 25, 30 inches?
Yeah, maybe not as much, but I think, you could be right. I think I stopped counting after maybe 24 inches. It was 18, then there was three, and then another little something today, maybe, you know, three or four. So yeah, Taos can get a good snow accumulation, like, you know, 300 some inches a year. That was, you know, 350 in the past. That was a common winter for us.
And it's not heavy snow. You know, you'd think somewhere down south it might be heavier, but that's pretty light stuff. You're high enough and it's dry enough that a lot of the snow you get is pretty light.
Yeah, I mean, the snow content, I don't think it's just like Salt Lake City when it's like 4% of you know, humidity on the snow. I think maybe 8%, but it's, you know, all depends. Some snow can come a little dense, but overall, I'd say maybe, you know, 7, 6, 7, 8% of humidity in a snow content. It's overall, it's pretty darn light. It's not like, you know, on the East Coast or the West Coast where, you know, the snow can be light for, like in Washington, the state of Washington, where it could be light for a couple of hours and then suddenly can be raining and the snow is very challenging to manage. In that respect, in comparison, we do have light snow, yes.
Yeah, you don't get Sierra cement.
No, we don't. No, we don't. It's light. And we start high. You know, the Taos, it's amazing. People think it's in the middle of the desert, which it is. But the ski area start at 9,200 feet. You know, so 9,000 feet, it's high. You know, it's just like, it's the same elevation as the Highway 70, you know, where you go in Colorado, you know. Even though we are so far south, we do have that altitude to be able to make snow in a lean snow year. And then when it does snow, we do have a good quality snow.
What's the best month, you think, to get down to Taos? I've been there in March, and it gets warm. It gets really nice.
That's a good question. Right now we're asking great, you know, and it's, you know, the middle of January. I mean, really to bank on a good solid base, you know, like the middle, early February to the 15th of March, you know, during those 6 weeks, that's going to be prime. March can be incredible. I've seen March when it was warm. But, you know, February, March, those 2 months, you can bank on having good snow coverage, having snowfall during your stay, and really enjoy the mountain.
Taos isn't just all about skiing. You know, the town is really, really unique in terms of a ski town. You know, there's the Pueblos, there's the square down there, there's some pretty cool restaurants, there's a lot of art.
Yep. And, you know, for sure. You know, you said it all. It's even more known in the summertime. Taos is maybe even more known in summertime than the winter. But if you want diversity and a sense of culture, I mean, Taos really has it all. There's a great sense of culture. It's like no others. You know, if I like Taos and being a European, being from France originally, I'm feeling very much at home in Taos.
What about hotels around Taos? There's not a lot up on the hill. There's a couple, but not much up there, is there?
Yeah, no, I think the Ski Valley is doing a good job with the renovation and of the infrastructure. I mean, it used to be a little peasant village, and now we have a little bit more to offer with the Blake, the Blake Resident, the Blake's Hotel. You've got, we've got some condos also as well. You've got the Edelweiss, the Kandahar condos. Compared to, you know, other ski area, we may be a little limited as far as lodging goes, but we can accommodate most of the demand. And Taos has a lot more to offer, the town of Taos, as far as lodging goes. So we can accommodate the crowd. The maximum crowd based on the contract with the service, the Forest Service, is about 5,000, maybe I understand 4,800 skier visit at the peak of frequency. So we cannot have more than 5,000 people, 5,000 skiers per day in a busy day. So even if we were to have more hotels and so forth, we can only accommodate 5,000 skiers. So it's maybe for the reason why we also doesn't have quite as much as other ski areas as far as accommodation goes.
So what's your favorite place to grab a snack on the mountain?
Well, I would have told you the Saint Bernard. That's, you know, Jean passed away 2 years ago. You know, I thought he was going to live forever. But he leave us about at 86 years old, but his presence is dearly with us every day. So that was, you know, for the people who come to Taos who never experienced the St. Bernard, they are missing something. But, you know, Taos has a lot to offer still. You know, you have the Dare Garden, you know, that's Christophe Brunel. Both of his parents had the Hotel Thunderbird, you know, in the old days. And he's doing a great job to have really a good cuisine, lunch and dinner. It's like organic, homemade. It's really delicious and beautiful. But you've got Blondeberry, you've got the Blake, you've got the Backdoor 38. You've got the Hondo Lodge, which also offer a great menu, lunch and dinner. You are here for a week. You've got definitely, five, six, seven places that you can bounce from one another to be able to accommodate either your lunch or your dinner.
And then there's always town, and there's tons down in town.
Oh my gosh. And then you go to town. I mean, I live in Seco. So, I go to ASEC, I go to Medley, those are really close to Seco. I don't need to go to town to get a good restaurant. So I rarely go to town because I live in Seco. I live literally 8 miles away from the ski area. So I rarely go to town. But I know, like during the summertime, there's a lot to offer, and I know a few in town. But for the winter, I limited myself like more around to where I live and the ski area.
So you spend a lot of time skiing and teaching. What's your philosophy around what skiing does for you and how you like to transmit that to others that you run into skiing?
That's a big question. I don't know where to start. It's I mean, skiing has been my life. I started to ski at 3 years old. I raced for 20 years, stopped racing at 27 years old. French National Ski Team, World Pro Tour, did some Europa Cup and a World Cup. I mean, I traveled the world, through ski racing. And then after my ski racing career, I worked for the US Ski Team for 3 years. And after being on the World Cup with Tamara Kinney on the US Ski Team, I decided to drop my suitcase somewhere, and Taos happened to be the place. So, skiing, either ski racing as a professional was my life, and I did it for 20 years. But also at 18 years old, I was able to also go through my certification with the French certification, coaching and teaching, as well at the USSA and the PSIA. So I always had that education and that formation, of translating and transmitting my passion of skiing to my friends, first and foremost, my family, of course, and also our guest. And so, to me, I'm 62, and skiing is my passion. I love to share that with my guest and my friend. And I'm a simple man. I teach during the day. I take off my shop during the first thing in the morning. I open the shop. All the way to 9:30. Then I go teach. Then have a little lunch, come back, make a few sales, and then I tune skis at night all the way to 10 o'clock at night. That's my routine. So I am always surrounded with that energy, that atmosphere during the winter, and I love it. I don't want to change it in the world.
That's a great response. I know it's a hard question. What's your own favorite day when you don't have to teach and you get a chance to just go ski Taos? Where do you go? What do you ski and what are you skiing on these days?
Well, it's I ski everything. It's all depend the, I mean, all depend the snow conditions. I love to carve. I love that racing turn. All depends. All depends what's going to be the topic of the day. If I want to go fast, I put my GS ski on or my Master GS. Either way, I've got some Fizz GS. And I'm just going to rip around on the groomers. We've got Lower Stuffy. We've got Phil France. The lower front side is absolutely awesome. But also, I can go back to the shop, switch it up, and take some shorter skis, a little wider. And I can hit the steep. All depends the mood that I am on. The conditions are good. I love to ski the steep. And I love to hike. And because hiking is a way to, make a, like, it's a communion with a mountain. It's getting close to the nature. Not take your phone with you, or it's in your pocket, and it's simply not answering your phone. It's you on the mountain and your slope and your ability to perform to the level that you wish. So to me, I don't know what's a perfect day. I've got so many perfect days. Just to clip my ski on is a perfect day. I don't need to go, 200 miles an hour to have a perfect day. I can ski slow, have a good day. I can ski fast, having a good day. Ski the bumps and the terrain, having a great day. to me, if I ski on my own, I like the bumps. I like to challenge myself into a bump situation. I like the steep, and I like you know, off the peak. If I go chair one, chair two, drop down to the backside and go to the backside and ski the peak, that would be a really good day. You know, to be up on the mountain and ski the peak. When I come back and I ski for 2 hours on the upper mountain, I come back, I feel like I've been gone for a week. It's just how the mountain kind of treats you, or the mountain has an effect upon your psyche or your emotions. I'm not kidding. I mean, I ski the peak, I come back, maybe because I go all the way to 12,000 feet high. When I come back, I say, where have I been? You know, and I feel like, why? You know, I really feel almost disconnected to the valley after, you know, evolving in such a high altitude.
You're a man after my own heart. That sounds awesome. I know that it's almost, for me, it's almost a religious experience to go skiing. Just the mountain.
Yeah, in many ways. It's your connection, your mind over your body, your mind over the terrain. And to me, it's really, you know, I'm getting older like everybody, but I think I would favor, and that's also my way of teaching, I favor alignment. I favor, you know, working with both legs, with both feet. It's not just power onto the outside foot, you know. It's finding the alignment, finding first and foremost a great sense of balance, lateral and fore and aft, and also finding a great alignment onto your edge angle. You can steer, you can carve, but when you find that alignment and you raise these forces with strength, but also with a lot of balance, then you have a sense of, you know, it's that fine balance which creates all that glide, but also that control. And you know, when you can really make your ski work for your favor, your alignment and your technique on your favor, and then you make those beautiful turns on the mountain, that communion is, I don't want to be anywhere in the world, but just be in the moment to enjoy that present moment. And there's not, I don't know, maybe people playing golf can feel that in that 2 seconds when they deliver the shot, possibly, but a run lasts a lot longer than, you know, than a couple of seconds, you know. So when you are committed in the top of the peak and you say, I'm not going to stop, and this is the line that I'm really focusing on, and you do what your mind tells you to do, and your body allows you to do what your mind wants you to do, it's very fulfilling.
Everything else goes away.
Yep, exactly.
So tell us about Liski Mastery. It's one of the best known shops in the country.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. It's own, you know, with my wife and I. We started in 1990 after I was done with the US ski team. In 1990, I saved some money to be able to, I wanted to go back to Taos because of Jean Maillet. And so during those 3 years, I've saved some money. And I say, what can I do to support a family? And ski teaching was good, but maybe not quite enough to be able to support a family of four. And so with the experience that I had, and the money that I saved, I said, okay, let's start, you know, a ski shop. And the first thing that I did is to save $25,000 of what I made, you know, in the course of those, you know, maybe the last 2 years of my contract with Dynamic. And I bought a Montana Stone Grinding. And that was the beginning of, I guess, a fairly long story, because I've been operating, being the owner and operator of the Ski Mastery with my wife for the last 34 years, to give the very best experience to our clients and friends. And if you're going to be here for 3 days, I want you to make the best out of the 3 days with the technology and what the industry has to offer. And sometimes I'm so proud of when we set people up, a family. We do snowboarding as well. And so we, you know, we've got a family of four, a family of five. When they walk out of the door, you would never think then this is a rental gear. They look like real pros, even though they may ski only 3 days a year. Big impact. And that's what really started Liski Mastery, is our ski tuning. And so for the stone grinding, then we have, and that has been a progressive, that has been a progression as far as equipment and gears. Now, the Ski Mastery, oh, not yet, maybe in a couple of years, the bank owns it, but hopefully in a couple of years, that'll be mine. We own a Montana Crystal Rock, and it does 35 pair of skis an hour, and it does an incredible job as far as the glide, as far as, you know, the base bevel with the HTT, the glide with that beautiful 100 different type of program that we can, you know, put onto the base. I work on your skis, and that's my commitment that I've been having for the last 34 years.
Alain, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us about skiing in Taos. You might see Alain any day of the week on the mountain, either taking a few laps or teaching, or you'll see him in his shop most afternoons. If you like our podcasts, please share them and listen to perspectives in other areas like St. Anton, Palisades, Jackson Hole, the Dolomites, and many, many others. Thank you for joining, and thank you to the Grits for the music. We feel it.